Welcome back, everybody. President Trump announced and signed the charter for the Board of Peace at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland earlier. And what's to be expected from this new charter and how it will affect global order? Joining us now to discuss this and much more is former CIA operations officer, founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC, and also a founding member of the Citizens Commission on National Security, Claire Lopez. Returning to the show, Claire, thanks so much for being back with us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
So glad to have you. Let's start on the sunny side of things before we move into territories like Iran. Greenland, I hear a lot of President Trump's naysayers that even with the announcement of this deal, that, you know, the United States already has military bases there and that this is nothing more than just the same old. But it sounds to me like there are some big differences and improvements to the relationship. What's your view on it?
Yeah, you know, we don't have all the information about the deal quite yet. But what we have learned is that the United States apparently will have control over a number of additional sites in Greenland, in addition to what used to be called the Thule base, but now is called Pituffik or Pituffin. I might be saying that wrong. But in addition to that longstanding base, there will be United States control over a number of other bases or sites within Greenland. There will be the ability for the United States to work, I guess, with the Greenlanders to exploit the rich mineral deposits of various kinds, including rare earth elements. But most important of all, that I think President Donald Trump was looking for was the ability for the United States to be able to manage a certain part, at least, of Greenland that would help to defend the northern approaches, if you will, to the Arctic Circle, and in particular, the Golden Dome concept that is going to be built up over the next several years.
Yeah, that's so important. It hardly gets talked about in the media coverage, but that's really what this was about. It was about getting some land and some strategic grab so that we could carry out the Golden Dome and have a better way of stopping the intrusions that China and Russia are pretty clear they want to make. I want to ask about something else, because I think the president had one other motive, and in my own private conversations, I kind of get the sense this was a driving motive. He's heard the Europeans complain about Russia and China in the Arctic for about 10 years, and they never do anything. I think he just wanted to light a giant fire under their derrieres because China and Russia are far more assertive in the Arctic than they were even 5 years ago. How important is it that Europe now at least is talking daily about protecting the Arctic?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that is, I think, a very important point to make and one of the probably top priorities in President Trump's mind when he, you know, launched this campaign to acquire a position or places in Greenland. Of course, as waters up there in the Arctic have been somewhat melting, there are new passageways, waterway passageways that Russia and China already have been taking advantage of. They have more icebreakers, including nuclear-powered icebreakers, than we do, and certainly than any of the European powers, to include Denmark, has. And so I think that's a really important part of this, yes.
Yeah. Well, and something similar to that I see as far as strategy and forcing people to light a fire under their own derrieres with Venezuela. I mean, President Trump knows we've all seen Democrats for a long time, for decades, ever since Caracas and the nation changed so drastically under communism. So many of them complained about it, but then Donald Trump dropped him. He did this very, very quick mission. And it seems to me, Claire, President Trump is molding this new foreign policy mission. He's always been very, very careful to not fall into something like a 20-year protracted war like we saw in Iraq and Afghanistan. Do you anticipate that looking at what we saw in Venezuela, that could also be any means of future action when it comes to Iran, China, Russia, any of our adversaries?
Well, you know, naming all of those adversaries of the United States exactly gets to the point of why Venezuela has been so important in our Western Hemisphere for President Donald Trump. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but full disclosure, I actually served in Caracas back in the 1990s before the Chavez regime came in. But in any case, since he did, and then after him now, the regime of Nicolas Maduro, that country became an absolute hub of operations for all of those adversaries that you just named there, to include, obviously, Iran, which has drone production facilities there, drones that can be for surveillance, yes, but also can be weaponized to carry a payload with the range to reach the United States, Iran. Hezbollah has been there for a long time as well, terror proxy of Iran. And Hezbollah has been working through a number of the narco-trafficking groups to channel narcotics up to the United States. And then, of course, you did mention China. That's a big concern for the United States and the Western Hemisphere now, as we've heard President Trump now being called naming his strategy here, the Dunrow Doctrine, after the much earlier Monroe Doctrine, but asserting, U.S. primacy, U.S. Strategic primacy in the Western Hemisphere, and that goes especially for China, which has been expanding its Belt and Road Initiative projects all over South America, Central America too, and then Cuba. Cuba was the one that provided, I've heard numbers as high as 10 to 15,000 security and intelligence officials, operators in Venezuela to support first the Chavez and then the Maduro regimes. The problem now is that even though Maduro and his wife are now gone, his vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, has been named, I guess, an interim president for Venezuela. But all those other parties I just named are still there. The Russian embassy is still there. The Chinese embassy is still there. The Iranian embassy is still there. The Cuban forces, which also, by the way, work with the interior minister to control what they call colectivos, these local level militias, Diosdado Cabello, interior minister, control these local level militias. They have a grip on the population at the local level. They're all still there. And so I think there's a lot yet to go on. There's a lot ahead of us to see, which way and how we will be managing the future for Venezuela, as President Trump intends to do.
Claire, we got about a minute left. I just want to quickly ask, we're moving a lot of hardware into the Middle East in the waters around Iran. It seems like the president has optionality we haven't had in a long time there. What do you think the end game is for U.S. reaction to Iran and its crackdown on its own people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incumbent upon President Trump to follow through on his promises to the Iranian people, who took to the streets by the millions in these past weeks and were slaughtered by at least the thousands. And so, as you mentioned, the force is gathering now. We've got two aircraft carriers en route, the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group coming in from the east, converging on the Middle East, and then also coming out of, I think it's Norfolk on the east coast of the United States, headed eastward across the Atlantic, and that is the George H.W. Bush Carrier Strike Group. So in addition, there are fighter planes that we have positioned in Jordan. There are a number, many actually, of the KC-135 aerial refueling tankers that have been positioned not just in Diego Garcia, but also in places closer to Iran. And I also saw recently, got to confirm this, but I saw a report that there were actually units of Delta, including the kind of helicopter Nighthawk capability that was used in Venezuela. Got to confirm that, but I saw reporting that they were located now in Iraq. That would be on the border of Iran. Yet to be seen what all happens, but a lot of American forces converging on that area. I think, in my opinion, I think that President Trump, and in close coordination with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, I think they intend to make an end of this regime.
All right, folks, what a great conversation.